The House Judiciary Committee passed an updated USA Freedom Act a few weeks ago. Many see the surveillance bill as a compromise that gives a little of each side, including limiting the use of Section 215 of the Patriot Act. That's the provision that lets intelligence agencies collect phone records. For more on what else is in the bill and what it could all mean, we turn to Sean Vitka. He's a federal policy manager at the Sunlight Foundation. Sean, good morning. Great to have you back.
Hi, good morning.
All right, so give us an overview of this bill. Is it only about Section 215, or is it broader than that?
The main reforms that are accomplished are in Section 215. It touches a variety of different issues, but ultimately it's pretty specific to 215 in terms of actually stopping limiting mass surveillance.
Well, would it limit surveillance, or would NSA just have to go and use the records that are kept by telephone companies? We're talking about the metadata about phone calls. Is this where this is all centering on?
Right, and that's one of the problems, is that it provides for different ways to get it. It changes the system by which they can access a huge amount of information. It's not necessarily a huge improvement in a number of other ways. For instance, if you've ever heard of PRISM or Upstream Collection, things like that would still be authorized. If you've ever heard of Executive Order 12333, which is a government authority that governs the collection of collection that crosses borders, is a decent way to put it. It still sucks up a huge amount of American information, and ultimately, in theory anyway, still allows the government to conduct mass surveillance of Americans.
All right, so I want to get more into some of those provisions, but in your blog, you have laid out kind of a legislative schedule and agenda for what would happen, and there's interaction between this bill and the Patriot Act, which has the original 215 provision in it. Tell us what some of the complications are here going on legislatively.
Yeah, well, I think the concern that I've had with USA Freedom is that it's been presented almost in a vacuum, just describing it as reform, and maybe it's not enough, but it's some kind of reform is a little bit too simple. So it doesn't just make changes to Section 215. It also extends that provision's a sunset date from June 1st to actually 2019. So it's that's a potentially big compromise. Organizations that have been organizing around Section 215's sunset for many, many years, and indeed, Congress built in sunsets for a reason, it's going to be hard for them to support a bill that's, ultimately an extension of surveillance authorities.
So in other words, the bill would modify 215, but at the same time reauthorize it for another 5 years.
Precisely. And I think it becomes extremely complicated to some extent, but there are some who think that the way that it changes Section 215, arguably, for instance, could allow them to do more kinds of surveillance. So you'd say take away bulk telephone metadata collection as a singular program, but with a newly written section, does it perhaps authorize new kinds of collection? It's a 125-page bill at this point, and I think, unfortunately, it's unclear what it's going to look like 2 years down the road. And I would say it's at least fair to say that there's a lot to give up in passing this bill. So whether or not the reforms are worth it are, I think, a much more complicated question than, oh, this is a small step forward.
Well, it seems interesting that in the Republican-controlled House and Senate is where this has the best chance of, I guess, happening. And you would think, it seems a little bit counterintuitive. I would think that the Republicans would be the ones that would want to continue with the old way of operating under 215, and Democrats, like Pat Leahy and so forth, wanting to curb it. So what are the politics here?
The Senate actually is probably the biggest obstacle for this bill. So in the House, a very, very weak version of USA Freedom passed last year. A stronger version failed by two votes in the Senate, failed to pass cloture, I should say. But in I don't think I personally expect it to be a huge fight in the House. I think Representative Sensenbrenner has made a successfully swayed a lot of people with his "don't make the perfect the enemy the good" line. I'm conflicted about how to respond to that, because it's the question of whether or not it's good is a worthwhile question to investigate. But in the Senate, it hasn't gone through markup yet. So in theory, Senate Judiciary and actually the Senate Intelligence Committee, if they choose to mark it up, are in a position to weaken the bill. And there are people like Rand Paul who obviously are willing to go much farther in the reform debate. But there are a very substantial number of Republican hawks in the Senate who last year voted just against it. I think there were only 5 total Republicans who voted for the bill last year in the Senate. Maybe 4, I can't recall exactly. I think the Senate is going to be where it gets weakened, if it does get weakened. And I think if you take one more thing out of this bill, I think it's almost certainly a net negative in terms of overall effect.
All right. So what would the strongest version of the bill look like?
So I think the strongest version of the bill, the Senate version last year was probably the strongest, if we can just say broadly speaking. There were a few things given up ultimately to get this version of the bill out, but a number of people, including myself, think the bill is a little bit tighter as well. It's not quite as strong in terms of reform writ large. There were certain transparency elements that were modified to get this bill ultimately, but this is also the same bill being introduced in both houses. So in the Congress last year, the House bill and the Senate bill were very different. And in fact, the House bill was so weak and arguably counterproductive that I think something like 70 of the original co-sponsors actually ended up voting against the bill because of the last minute changes that were made.
Well, besides curbing 215 or making the NSA have to go to the court repeatedly when it wants to gather this information, what are some of the provisions you think should stay in it with respect to the Patriot Act or anything else regarding national security and surveillance?
Yeah, so really, I think the most important thing to be said about the bill are actually transparency provisions. The problem with the transparency provisions is they aren't comprehensive enough. And one of the things that's consistently bothered me about this bill is that somehow virtually every version of it includes significant exemptions for the kind of reporting that the FBI has to do. So I have never understood that. It seems to be just some leverage that intelligence agencies or hawks have somewhere in the status quo camp. But on one side it's great. We're gonna have new numbers and new ability to see into the intelligence community than we have now. But on the other hand, a lot of the reporting is already done voluntarily by the intelligence community, and it's going to be arguably a fairly misleading picture because we're going to be missing a lot of the collection potentially, especially if it just depends on how much of it goes through the FBI. And in fact, there's going to be some kind of unfortunate incentive for things to be routed to the FBI, and that's the agency that's tasked with domestic surveillance. So transparency should stay in, but it should also be improved. And frankly, I have a fear that we're going to be having a misinformed conversation as a country in 3 years or 4 years. Next time 215 sunset would be up if this bill passes, because, who knows? And actually, I would point out that we're having misinformed conversation right now, because the Department of Justice Inspector General has a report on Section 215 use that is being held up in declassification review and has been for a year by the FBI. So the FBI has just stalled this report. The only way that we get any kind of unquestionable numbers about what the government is using and how it's using Section 215 just because they don't want to release it. It was actually fairly unprecedented. DOJ IG ended up giving the classified version of the report to Congress and announcing that they weren't able to release the declassified version because the FBI had just been sitting on their thumb this entire time. And they actually published a little letter just saying, this is what we did. We have no better solution because we can't get around the FBI's declassification review. Meanwhile, Congress is expected to vote on a fairly complicated bill, and Americans are still completely unable, frankly, to see anything past whatever Edward Snowden revealed.
We're speaking with Sean Vitka, the federal policy manager at the Sunlight Foundation. Would any of this even be happening if it wasn't for the Snowden revelations there?
What's funny about this, the Snowden revelations is none of it's funny, frankly, some of what Snowden revealed, I would say some, was already discussed by people like Thomas Drake or Bill Binney or Diane Rourke. And really what Snowden did is showed up with the proof, because if you look at it some of the things that are going on are so outlandish that when you have people show up and say, hey, the government is doing this and it's not okay, but I can't show you anything because I will be chased to Russia, let's say, or I'll flee to Russia, or I'll abscond to Russia, depending on how you look at Snowden, I suppose. But then Snowden shows up with the proof, and we've all got to look at it, and then we have to have this conversation. So I think the national debate would not be occurring without Snowden, no.
All right, one detail I wanted to ask you about in the blog, you said the amicus curiae provision, friend of the court idea, is utterly broken, even with the reform bill. What's that all about?
So this is... when congressional offices and individuals are thinking about whether or not to support USA Freedom, the problem is that there are holes in the bill. There are things that are set up that aren't quite the reform that they look like. So I'll give you another example on top of this one. But the amicus curiae, there's a rule of construction stuck to the bottom of it. I mean, the rest of the amicus curiae provision is okay, but an amicus would only be effective in a secret court if they have expressed ability to access information that is relevant to the case before the FISA court. Unfortunately, in the rule of construction, it says somewhat ham-fistedly, that none of this shall be construed to require the government to compel or to provide information to the amicus that is otherwise privileged. So they just use the word privileged. Now, the amicus is something that a lot of organizations, not specifically Sunlight, but others, have been fighting for a long time. There's value to having an independent voice before the court, for sure. But when you just say that they can't have privileged information, you're not just talking about attorney-client privilege or attorney work product. You're talking about the executive privilege or the state secrets privilege. And you're in front of a secret court. I've never really been satisfied with what the part of the debate that the country ended up in, where we're having a conversation about whether or not a special independent voice can be appointed in front of a special secret court. I'd rather have a conversation about whether or not there should be a secret court at all. But in as much as people think that we're going to have some independent voice that's really dealing with this issue, I don't think we are, or if we are, it's going to take much more reform than this. This bill certainly doesn't get us there. The other thing, the other really example, easy example about how this
sure.
bill is not simply a step forward is if you look at the Patriot Act, gives corporate immunity for companies that are acting in good faith compliance with government orders. Not terribly controversial, but very frustrating. If you remember the retroactive immunity debate that happened in 2008, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Well, this bill actually takes away the good faith requirement and gives compensation. So companies now could be complying in bad faith and still be immune to their customers and coming after illegal sharing of their information. And they'll be paid for it, too.
All right. A lot of weight to get through a busy Congress. Sean Vitka is the federal policy manager at the Sunlight Foundation. Thanks so much for that update.
Yes, thank you very much.